seeing the younger generations disregard the older generations, saying they're just stuck in the past. And I've seen the older generations refuse to listen to the younger generations. It's wrong. It's wrong. Something's missing. Something's missing.
Just what exactly is wrong will be the subject of our time today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. Join us. We're in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Boy, I tell you what, we sure have a lot of ideas about how the younger should serve the Lord, and the younger, they have their ideas how the older should serve. So what does God have to say? Where do we fall in all of this? Well, let's pick up in Haggai chapter 2 and find out. Here's Pastor Chris with today's program.
In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, and the Lord their God had sent them. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. And now our text. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, last time we considered the first oracle in Haggai here, in which God called this prophet to go to a people and administer in the Old Testament what were known as covenant lawsuits and confront the people with a very serious problem that had happened in the remnant that had returned from Babylon. Remember, they had come back from Babylon after being taken captive in Babylon and had started building the temple in about 538 BC. But a series of attacks from the outside and discouragements had brought the building project to a halt. It stopped until almost 520 BC, which meant for almost 20 years, nothing was going on. Simply put, the people were discouraged. The people had become complacent. The ruins and lazy in their calling to build the temple. There was that little phrase in the first part of the book that was very important that we considered last time. They said, the time has not come to build the house of the Lord. The time has not come. And the Lord sent an indictment. Oh, really? So is it time for you to build up your paneled houses? Is it time for you to spend so much time on your houses and neglect my house? It's hypocritical to tell me that the time has not come. I see what you have time for. Your own homes. Your inlaid beautiful wood in your homes, he said. And through the message of Haggai, the Lord seriously challenged those returnees to consider their ways. They were under, in the Old Testament, you had a series of covenant curses that they were under and they were experiencing because of it. The Lord had sent what the Psalms call leanness into their souls. In other words, since they weren't trusting Him and listening to Him, anxieties filled their lives when they shouldn't have faced those things. And because of that, they were very needy. Their money went into bags with holes. They never had, even though they had. They were never satisfied, even though they were given so much. The Lord blew it all away. It's really a remarkable thing that the Lord can do that when you have a lot in your hands. A double curse of leanness upon the land and judgment for neglecting to build the Lord's house. And we left off last time with one of the most encouraging sections all the way right out of the beginning in the first section of Haggai. The people repented. They listened to the voice of the prophet. They listened to the voice of the Lord. And this figure rose up, Zerubbabel, who was a great encouragement to them. For almost out of nowhere, then they realized that was a direct descendant from the line, the kingly line of David. And he is meant to stand out here. The Lord's project is not over. The Lord is continuing His covenant. The Lord is continuing to do what He said He would do, that there would always be a king on the throne, that there would always be a kingdom that can't be shaken. And then Joshua the high priest shows up, and through the hearing of the word of Haggai, they participated in the building project. They built the temple. Well, we ended up last time that it said in verse 14, they came and worked, you'll notice that there, on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Now remember at this point, Haggai is divided into these four oracles, and it seems that as we come now into the second oracle, as we come into the second section here, the Lord needed to come back to them with His word again because something else went wrong. Something else happened. What? Notice what 2 verse 1 says. You have all these time markers here in this book that are telling you to consider the span of time that has gone on. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. At this point, the people had been working on the temple about 3.5 weeks. Why does the Lord send Haggai to them again? Well, we know that Zechariah's ministry begins shortly after from the second oracle. And Zechariah exposes the fact, you'll notice in if you ever read through the book of Zechariah and what he's dealing with, that the people, he confronts them for not being a part of the Lord's project with a genuine heart and love for Him. And he reminds them of what happened to their fathers. But when we come to Haggai's second oracle, something else is revealed about what was going on in the minds of the people. What is happening in the course of the building project? They got it started. They started to build. And we're giving insight into what's happening. Look at it. At verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say this, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? You hear the issue? God is responding to something that he sees happening in the hearts and the comments of the people. God recognizes things are not so good. What's the problem? What's happening here? He says, who of you remembers what the old temple looked like in all of its former glory? What a question. What a question. Solomon's temple. Who of you remembers what the old temple looked like in all of its former glory? What a question. What a question. Solomon's temple. This was no small issue of contention. In Ezra 3:12, which is a fascinating section. I just want to read this. Listen to Ezra that describes what happened among the generations as the temple is being built. You're going to see how much this applies to today. Listen to this. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the directions of David, king of Israel, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. Ezra 3. I have a lot to say about that. That is really interesting. You have a generational struggle going on. The younger generation is shouting with joy at what the Lord is doing in this new temple project. But the older generation, the old men, are weeping. What in the world's going on? Well, the Lord sees it. He says, I see it. Look at the question he asks now. Isn't that interesting? Who among you is left who saw this house in its former glory? You older men, and you remember what that house was like, don't you? How do you see it now? How are you looking at the project? They were building a vastly inferior temple in light of the former. Young people had no idea. This is wonderful. The old people are weeping. 3.5 weeks into the project, it's quite evident that what they are building will never attain to the glory of what was back in the old good days. See it? We can only imagine the differences of opinion as the building's going up, right? I'm so glad we're building a nicer building than this, right? You see, some of you should laugh at that. All of us together can laugh at that one. The older generation was discouraged. They were discouraged. Knowing what the temple once was. And thinking, those were the days. Those were the good old days. This new generation doesn't seem to get it. The new generation was optimistic. come out of Babylon and brought back, and here they are, and they're seeing a temple go up. This is really exciting. It's all brand new for us. They hadn't known what it once was, the former glory. You could imagine the struggle as the younger people are standing back saying, I don't get it. Why in the world would they be weeping? And as the blocks were set and the young bricklayer is setting them, you could hear one of the old men, that is not how it's supposed to be done. Let me tell you right now. That is not. You set it this way. This is how it's supposed to look. When the Old Testament prophets prophesied, and you can't fault the older generation here, when the old prophets prophesied, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they spoke of the restoration and the temple, that it would be of much more glory than the former. This is not it. This is not it. That's what they're thinking. This isn't even close to Solomon's temple. So here we are. What's worse? The furniture's missing. We don't even have the ark. This is all wrong. This is all wrong. How is God's blessing going to be on this? Where was the ark? We know that history. But what has happened is they have lost heart. The camp is divided. The whole thing is split. You can't even distinguish between mourning and praising. It's so together. It's so loud. Now, this is a very fascinating issue to discuss and to consider from the scriptures. Is there really blessing with an inferior temple? Is there really blessing with an inferior temple? We don't seem to have some of the key ingredients that we do from the past. This is all pretty relevant, isn't it? This is all pretty interesting, isn't it? Not so far removed from us. We take a golden age view of history. We look at the past and we wish it were this way. We look at the early church. We're studying Acts right now in the mornings. And the Lord was daily adding to the church those who were being saved. That was the greatest church growth program, and it took off. I don't see that. I don't see that. You begin to look at all these things. What's your conclusion in the present? Well, where are the greats today that we study about in the past? Where are the Calvins? Where are the Luthers? Where are these men? Where are they? Where are some might say, the Spurgeons, who could really preach? Bad times, bad times, bad times. We are in really perilous times. Even worse is when we begin to compare churches and do this, and we tend to look elsewhere for something more glorious, something that we think will be more satisfying, or something that works better, willfully ignorant of really thinking about, is God doing anything among us? If you ever look at churches that are divided this way, of the generations and split, and one looking at things this way, and another generation looking at things this way, if you ever look at churches like that, that are split in this kind of way, those are churches stuck. They go nowhere. They're full of unhappy grumblers. And they wonder why their church is stuck in a rut. Again, I just have to say, the most beautiful thing is to see all the generations together in the project. All of them. I've seen the younger generations disregard the older generations, saying they're just stuck in the past. And I've seen the older generations refuse to listen to the younger generations. It's wrong. It's wrong. Something's missing. Something's missing. If you ever look at a church that's full of people who understand what God has specially called them to do and to be as a particular body in service in His kingdom, through the ministry, as the gospels advance, you're going to see a people there who are joyful in the work of the Lord, together. Together. We may not always like how new things happen, simply because we don't like how things are done. But that doesn't mean that elsewhere the building project is better. If you look carefully into the words of Haggai here, the Lord is in a kind of sense rebuking the older generation. because they didn't like, and I don't fault them, they didn't understand how the new temple, in light of the promises of God, how the new temple was meeting that and fulfilling that. They couldn't see that. It didn't match the old one. And the Lord holds us out, having them think about here what the Lord is doing among them. This is where we're starting to get to an answer to this dilemma. The issue with Haggai is the same. God had raised up in front of them figures. God had raised up Zerubbabel. God had raised up Joshua the high priest. We looked at a prophet, priest, and king aspect to these figures last time with Haggai the prophet. All of it's in place. Now, it isn't, their thought was, it isn't time because we disagree with a building that does not equal the splendor and the glory of the past. This was a real test for the remnant. Will they recognize God's hand in this? That He actually has ordained. Now listen for a minute. What I'm about to say, you'll see where I'm going with this. He's actually ordained a temple of less outward glory. Or will they continue to be frustrated with the building project with doubt, with complaining, and a lack of trust that He's really in control, even though they're through their hard circumstances and trials that they're facing? The Lord sent Haggai to this people to warn them and to think about what the Lord's doing. Your external situation may not look so good. What you're building may be far less than the glory of the former temple of Solomon, great Solomon. And maybe even it appears to you as wrong. But that's only an outward appearance. Not in essence. Not in what the temple is supposed to be, what it's supposed to produce. And the Lord is about ready to show them through this book that the temple, the latter temple, will far exceed, as the promise states, the glory of the former temple.
And you're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will be back in just a moment with some exciting news about an upcoming conference that we would love for you to be a part of. First, let me leave you with our website and our phone number in case you would like to reach out to us. This is a listener-supported program, and we are greatly encouraged when you come alongside of us financially and prayerfully to ensure that this broadcast continues not only here where you're listening, but elsewhere throughout the country. Our web address is agradio.org. Now, that's a great place to go if you would like links to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. Also, a marvelous repository of past programs can be found, again, there at agradio.org. Or leave us a question or prayer request at questions@agradio.org. You can also reach us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Now, there is a banner on our website, agradio.org, and it's all about an upcoming conference in May. And we're really excited to have you be a part of it. Chris, this is going to be an amazing conference, isn't it?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. That was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And again, we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you for spending time with us today. Until next time, may God bless you as you seek His abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.